If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 5, going to be looking at verses 10 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, 10 through 12. In the book of Ephesians and also 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it tells us that the gathering of the body is to edify one another. And every opportunity I'm going to get, I'm going to talk about grace in a good way. Because a lot of people talk about their church in a bad way. I'm going to talk about it in a good way. I love this place. All right. I love being here. I love from Brother Mike to Brother Frank and all in between. This is home and I love it. And my mom said if she lived closer, she'd come here, but she don't want to drive 96 miles to get here. So we'll let her off the hook. One person every 5 minutes, one person every 5 minutes dies for their faith in the 2022. One person every 5 minutes. So let's just say we're here for an hour. There's 12 people that will die because they believe in Jesus Christ. And you're looking at me going, oh, that's great. We got a great sermon today. Let me tell you, it's going to happen. It's happening. It's happening. Jesus writes this sermon in Matthew chapter 5, and he begins with what we call the Beatitudes. And I want to crank out this morning the last one, because he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Father God, I pray that as we open up your word this morning, that we will hear your voice and it will tell us to keep on. Lord, that we will feel your spirit, that you would move in our hearts like we have never been moved before. And I pray that it'll be all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I grew up with a drug problem. I was drugged to church. I know y'all have heard that before. We were there. And just to give you some brief background, I made a profession of faith when I was 8. Really didn't know what I did. So if you ask me when I got saved, I'll tell you 15. Because that's when I had the assurance of my salvation. I knew what I was doing. And I went to it full throttle. Called to preach about a year later. My mom tried to talk me out of it, but she couldn't. Parents got divorced. And I went to a great church. Chris Harkin and I went to church back then at the same church. It was a great church. Wonderful church. I had wonderful youth pastors. I had wonderful pastors that taught me the word of God. And when I became a preacher boy, they showed me the things to do and not to do. You know, you don't stand on the woman's oxygen hose at this hospital when you're trying to talk to her. I didn't do that. He did, okay? I was discipled really well. I was taught how to look at Scripture and interpret it. And just God was poured out upon me through other people. But as I look back, and now in the place that I am, I understand there was something that I was never taught. And that I could be persecuted for my faith. Because it's not American. It's not American Christianity that we will be persecuted for our faith. Do you realize right now, and if you want a book that will just blow your mind, you need to get The Insanity of God by Nick Ripken. I read that bad boy in about 10 hours. It is unbelievable. And he talks about just this exact thing. Do you realize right now there are Chinese Christians praying for the American church to go through persecution? Why? Because in their own country, they have seen what it does. I never was taught you will face persecution. It was always something in Africa. The missionary will have to face it. Or the person in the Middle East where they worship Muhammad, they will be tortured. It's going to happen. I was almost changed that title to "It is happening." Because the place I'm in now is a dad. I'm a dad. I have a 13-year-old daughter named Sky. She's sitting right here, if she's not under the pew just yet. And I have a 16-year-old son over there. I know he's under the pew. I have great kids. I have wonderful kids. I have wonderful kids who love Jesus. And I'll say that. I have kids who live out their faith. And I've taken my daughter who's in the 8th grade, and I'm hearing the stuff she's going through, and I'm going, oh my gosh, I have to disciple her in this. You're homophobic because you don't agree with my lifestyle. How dare you say he's supposed to be a boy, he's supposed to be the girl? Well, Matthew chapter 19 says it, okay. And man and woman shall be joined together. There you go about marriage. Matthew chapter 19 just solves almost every argument that there's going on today. Go read it. My kids are going through it. We have been blamed by her friends of being too strict and taking her to an archaic religion. Y'all, that's Talladega, Alabama. That's the Bible Belt. That's where we are. Some of you have blinders on and you don't talk to your kids or you don't have kids. That's where we are. We have politicians that want to teach sexuality to kindergartners. Are you kidding me? Let me set up the context. These Beatitudes, I've heard bad sermons and good sermons on these, but let me just give you a simple understanding. The first three deal with salvation. If you want a salvation story right here, here it is. Blessed are the poor in spirit. When you come to God, you are poor in spirit. Matter of fact, you're not poor in spirit. You're dead in the spirit. Next, you are spiritually broke. And then in verse 4, he said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Too many people are repenting because they got caught. When have you mourned? I deal with people all week, all the time, that are mourning because loved ones are dying or have died. And I can tell you there's no formula with it. But they're hurting because their life has changed. When God touches your heart with the need of salvation, the only response you can have is the same as Isaiah did. Depart from me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And I live among a perverse nation. Your eyes are opened. But look what verse 5 says, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. He changes us. He gives us peace. He brings that. Do you remember what Jesus said? He says, look, I'm sending you another, what? Comforter. The rest, he tells us, are the sanctification process. No one pursues holiness and righteousness on their own. It is a God-given thing. There's the pursuit of holiness. Look what he says in verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You can't be merciful unless you know Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 9, Paul writes that God says, I will make a vessel of wrath who will be a vessel of wrath, and I will make a vessel of mercy who I want to be a vessel of mercy. And then he brings us as peacemakers. And then we get to verse 10. He spends three verses. And this is not fun. I know that. But can we get our heads out of the sand and understand that this has happened since Cain and Abel? Why did Cain kill Abel? Because of his faith. His sacrifice was pleasing to God. Cain's wasn't. And he killed him. What about David? Go read the Psalms. Oh, Lord, my enemies are heavy upon me. Protect me from my enemies. He's being persecuted. What about Joseph of the Old Testament? Sold into slavery, put into prison. What kind of excuse would we make for him nowadays? Well, I really knew he didn't love Jesus because Jesus definitely wouldn't send him to prison. Elijah, made fun of, called barley head. You big baldy head, that's what it basically translates to. Samuel, John the Baptist, Jesus said no one has been born of woman that is great as John the Baptist, and he was beheaded. And we sit in the pew and think, oh, it's not going to happen to me. It won't happen to you if you don't live out your faith. I mean, you can sit there in your pew and be happy. Have everything that you want. Everything that you earthly desire. And be miserable. Point number one. You should expect it. You should expect persecution. If you are truly going to live out your faith as a person of believing person, you're going to have to expect that it's coming. This is going to explain a lot. I graduated from West Georgia, middle grades education. Yes, I am the proverbial class clown. Still am. I did that because I knew I was going to be preaching. And I'm like, well, I can go to Wyoming and preach. And if I have to do something else, teach. You know, because those who can't do, teach. And those who can't teach, coach, right? Now I'm both of them. So as I was getting my degree, the education department got along with the science department and says, hey, we want some of your students. So I was middle grade science, and I'm like, okay, I'll take a class. Well, they said, won't you look at the paleontology department? Lovely. Fossils. I didn't know you could make a lot of money. You can make a lot of money with a paleontology degree because they use them for oil exploration. So here me and a buddy of mine named Woody, we go in this paleontology class, 300. And he stands up and he says, I know we got some new people who never had me before. And don't bring your God in here. And it is by the evolutionary process. I summed up 35 minute lecture in about 2 seconds. That's what he said. And he says, if you're education students, you're going to have to write me some papers on how you'll take this paleontology course and transform it to your classroom. Okay? So me and God got this brilliant idea. We were going to write how creation needs to be taught in the classroom, the same as evolution. When I got my paper back, it had the big F on there, and it says nothing but propaganda. Had to call home, and in this school, D's don't mean degrees. D's mean you're taking another class. So for some reason, I left that class and took the natural history of vertebrates. Same discussion. Evolutionary process is the way. We don't talk about God and creationism in this class. And my mom called me and says, just do the work. Can I tell you what my final exam was? 50 birds, 50 reptiles and amphibians. We had to either know them by slide or by sound. Had to know scientific name. Yeah, my roommate enjoyed that. I would go across campus with my Walkman. Y'all don't know what Walkmans are. And I'd be like dancing and people like, hey, what do you listen to? And I'm like, oh man, you got to listen to this. And it'd be like the bullfrog croaking. Let me tell you how much the world's taken away from us. The frog, the spring peeper. You ever heard the spring peeper? Do you know what its scientific name is? Pseudocrix crucifer. It means cross bearer. If you ever find a spring peeper, it actually has a cross on its back. But we call it the spring peeper because that's what they say we need to call it. No, it's the cross bearer. Well, I passed the class. And I remember during that class was the Oklahoma bombing. And he hit the TV and he showed us to us. You talking about God setting you up for something? He said, I don't know what to say. Will somebody pray? Right here. Such as time as this. You know what God says? 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. Paul told Timothy, if you desire to live the life of faith, you will be persecuted. 1 Peter chapter 12. Beloved, do not be surprised by the fiery ordeal among you which comes through your testing as though some strange things happening to you. And he goes on later in verse 13. He says, you rejoice that you are sharing in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Paul tells the same things in Philippians. When we hear that thing, he says, for I want to know Christ and know him. Do you know what he says? I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. It's coming. It's here if you'll step out and live the godly life that God has told us to live. Number two, you'll experience. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. How far will you go? Will you cave or conquer your fears for worldly desires? Okay, you might not get invited to the party. Big deal. Woohoo! But what if the refrigerator is empty? The cupboards are bare. And they won't sell it to you because you don't have the mark. What happens when you don't get the job because of your Christian faith? What do you do then? We look at our friend, we look at our kids and say, hey, don't succumb to peer pressure. Don't succumb to peer pressure. Adults are the worst. You'll experience it. If not, give your salvation a check. You will experience. You need to understand. I'm not telling you to go pick a fight. The fight's already there. But may we remember that our war is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of darkness. It is a spiritual one. Look, we have election day. I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican. We're being played, folks. It's not a political agenda anymore. It is a spiritual one. Both sides of the aisle. One's playing you with this and one's playing with you with that. But Psalm chapter 4, I believe it is, where it says Jesus sits back and scoffs at the plans of the nation. you will experience it. But your reward is eternal. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Is it worth it? Yes. Yes. You get, look what he says, the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is the kingdom of heaven? I could go all spiritual on you and show you my 50,000. No, it wasn't that much. Show you my seminary education, and we could talk about Basileia, and we could talk about this Greek word. But let me just simply put it. The kingdom of heaven is where God has his domain. He's in charge. So when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand, yeah, he's in charge. The kingdom of heaven is to come. Yeah, it's coming. Your reward is great. AJ asked us a question about 6 months ago. Why don't guys come to Man Cave? And I wrestle with it. I wrestle with all kinds of stuff. He said, look, your reward in heaven is great. Can I remind you what 2 Corinthians 5:10? I don't think I put a slide up. But basically, Paul says, look, you will give a recompense for every deed that you've done, good or bad. Now stay with me for a moment. There's going to be two judgments. We're going to separate the saved from the non-saved. Got it? Goats, sheep, okay? But these guys over here, you, God's people, you will give an account for everything you did. So if you think it's about getting your fire insurance and being saved, no. Paul told the Corinthians, you're going to give an account. Jesus has multiple parables where he talks about the kingdom of heaven is as a vineyard. The kingdom of heaven is as these receiving the talents. And what do they did? Some of them squandered them, buried them, and gained nothing. Paul told some of them, look, you're barely going to escape the flames. Your reward is in heaven. As Paul talks about in Colossians chapter 3, store up your treasures in heaven. Keep a heavenly minded concept. Okay, they don't like you. Well, guess what? They'll like you tomorrow. Let me tell you what I found out about Kai's friends. They'll make fun of her. They will laugh at her. But let one of them have a problem. Who are they going to come to? Hey, I don't believe in God. I'm not going to your church. Kai, something bad's happened. Will you pray for me? Now, you got to understand, my son's the same way. If Jackson says 5 words, congratulations, you heard him say 5 words. But I'm going to tell you, you need to listen to every 5 words he just said. I'm turning 50 Wednesday. No applause, please. And I was telling Kai, I said, look, you're 13. I'm going to have to live to be 87. She said, why? I said, because I'm tired of you telling me that I'm going to be old. And I want to be there when you turn 50 to tell you that you're old. And my stoic son sitting back listening to this conversation, he says, do you really want to be here in 37 years? He said, as this place is going, do you really want to be here? Ouch. Fourth, he says, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. Not only is he said blessed, which means happy, he's saying rejoice and be glad. Now that sounds like some sadistic thing. Oh, I'm being persecuted. Let me rejoice and be glad. That's looking at it worldly. If you're looking at it through spiritual things, God is being glorified. Rejoice and be glad. Why? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right now, is it worth taking some flack for Jesus? To you, right now, is it worth taking some flack? You know, God asks us to do stuff sometimes. I'm in my car a lot. I've been dealing with this. You know, when Frank asked me to preach, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll go to the notebooks and pull out an old one they've never heard. Woohoo! We'll have a good old time. Yeah, God said, no, you're not. He said, why do you think we've been dealing with this the past 2 months? I never say God told me to. I'm gonna go old school. I got spiritual unction. You know, that's what my grandma used to tell me. And I said, I really don't want to do this, God, and because I think you may be telling me I'm going to die. But if I do, that's fine. I want to read a letter to you that I've written my kids. They haven't heard it. This is the first time they're going to hear it. I mean, you know what the Bible is? Basically, we're eavesdropping on people's letters to other people. I mean, think about it. I'm not saying that this is inspired. It's unctioned. To my children, as I approach the milestone of turning 50, you two have always been two of the greatest joys of my life. From the first day you were born, I fell in love with you. You're great kids and have accomplished a lot. Through your mess ups and successes, and you always will, you have made me very proud being your father. I want to encourage you to always stay with Jesus. Keep your relationship strong. Jesus loves you more than I could ever imagine. As we have shared around the dinner table, this world is getting worse. I wish I could tell you different and take all of your struggles away, but I can't. You're going to face some difficult times, and you'll be ridiculed, you'll be mocked, you might even be tortured and put to death. Jesus said it would be this way, and as time draws near to his return, it's going to be hard and tough, and you might even ask why is this happening? But Jesus and the glory of God is worth it. Eternity is worth it. Trials happen and make us stronger. We also live in a terrible, sinful place. Remember, the war is not against flesh and blood, but it is a spiritual one. Stay prayed up. Keep going to church. Stay in the Word of God. And always love Jesus and proclaim Him. It is worth it. Do it for His glory. Paul claimed, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is not about sports. Paul's saying, whether it is a good or bad day, whether I have a lot or nothing, I can get through because the Lord. Finish the race well, because I want to see you on the other side. I love you both. Your dad. I love my kids, but I love any kid that is under the age of 30 right now, because I think you're going to face some tough, tough times. And Frank told me I could close any way I wanted to. And I'm going to ask all these 25 and unders that are in here, I want you to come to the altar. We're going to pray over you. So come on, don't be ashamed, don't be shy. And as they come up, if you feel led, come up and gather around them. If you're a parent, grab hold of your kid and stand by them. We'll pray for you all. Almighty gracious God, we don't know the time that you'll return back to this place. But you said there will be signs and wonders, and there'll be caution signs of what is to come. And God, far too long we have depended upon this nation to keep us safe and secure. But our war is not against another country, it is against evil spiritual forces. And God, I pray right now for those that are in front of me that are in high school, middle school, elementary school, college, or maybe their new careers. God, protect them. But if they have to go through the fire, I pray that you would strengthen them to be a mighty army, to lift you up, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, whether they go through harassment and pain and are laughed at and made fun of, and Lord, maybe even face physical harm. May you build inside of them, like you already have, just the Spirit of God that will help them rejoice. Oh God, may you be glorified by this generation. This nation has turned away from you, and I think if revival is going to come, it's going to be through them. And Lord, I just pray that you would, grab a hold of them, Lord. And may we as parents and grandparents and as members of their church, may we lift them up in prayer. May we disciple them the way they need to be discipled. May we strengthen and encourage them to keep going. Finish the race well. And in all things, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.